Thank you, Daniel. Great to be here and share with you from the Word of God. And you know what? We are part of an incredible movement around Australia called INC Movement. We have over 130 churches around this nation. And this beautiful church, Infinity Church here, is doing an amazing job in this local area. I'm so excited when I see how well Daniel and Megan are doing. Incredible pastors, really in touch with God. Incredible wisdom, and these great services we have, English, Arabic, and Farsi, all working together, incredible unity, and a passion to reach our city for Christ. Isn't it awesome? We are part of this. Chris and I are now part of it again after being away for a little while, and we just love coming here to Infinity Church and love being part of it and seeing what God is doing. And I hope you are passionate and excited about what God's doing. You know, there's a fresh move of God working through Australia right now. And we are seeing in all of our churches a real uptick in prayer, a real gathering of people. We had a gathering recently of all the pastors in this region to pray together. It was really exciting. And it's happening not just here, but around Australia. And I sense that in the general population, although Christianity has been in the decline for many years, there's a bit of an uptick now. And people, I think, are realizing there's no hope in anything else. There's no answer. The politics is a mess. The media is a mess. There's so many things going wrong in our nation. We need something. And they're wondering, maybe God. Maybe God. And I think, you know, we're seeing the national church life survey people are saying the biggest uptick is in the younger age bracket, the 17 to 34-year-olds, I think it is the biggest increase coming into church. Isn't that exciting? Oh, I tell you what, I am excited. And we've got a great theme. It's about family. And I want to share a few things with you. In the last few weeks, there has been some significant news headlines about this area. And you would have seen all this yourself. Domestic violence has been in the news all the time the last 2 months. Right now, we're up to 31 women have been killed by a present or past partner in the state of Victoria. That is terrible. Also in the news, we have seen an incredible amount of news about teenagers being impacted by social media. The negative effects of social media for teenagers includes things like cyberbullying, feelings of loneliness, being left out, less time for real world activities. Research shows that the link between social media and depression is significant. Social media among young people is nearly universal now. Based on surveys from an organization called Pew Research Center, which is in the United States, in 2022, 95% of teenagers surveyed between age 13 and 17 reported using social media. A third of them said they used it constantly. Pew also tracked social media platforms or which apps teenagers are using. In 2023, the majority of teens, 9 out of 10, used YouTube first, followed by TikTok, followed by Snapchat, followed by Instagram. We use it too, right? Us oldies. The media reports about banning teens on social media has just exploded in the last 2 weeks. New South Wales Premier Chris Minns has a proposal to bar children under 16 using social media, highlighting the urgent need to shield young minds from harmful effects of unregulated online environments. South Australian Premier Peter Malinauskas has appointed a former High Court Chief Justice to examine the pathways for his government to impose social media ban on children under 14. Federal Labor frontbencher Tanya Plibersek, one of the Australian government's most powerful women, has backed a social media ban for teens and revealed that she regrets letting her children, who are now past that age, access mobile phones at a young age. In the United States, the state of Utah has already banned social media for teenagers. So the topic we're talking about today is this: the problem with screens is. And I want to show you my number one photo for this message, if you could pop that up on the screen for me. Have you been out to eat recently at a restaurant? Have you noticed this stuff? You did it too, right? This is just normal, right? When Chris and I were young couples and we went out to eat at a restaurant, we actually talked to each other. But nowadays, it's a little bit different. They're probably texting each other while they sit next to each other. Has anyone ever done that? Come on, be honest. Number two photo, please. Same thing, but it's a bit hard to see. In the background of that photo, there's a beautiful view out the window, right? Right, I said right again. Chris is always telling me when I say right all the time. Chris and I went on our 40th wedding anniversary trip to Queenstown in New Zealand. And we just love that place, and so we had a beautiful week there. And we're at this restaurant, which is on top of a very high mountain. You only get there by going up a cable car. And in this restaurant, Chris and I are looking at this view going, wow, look at this view. This is amazing. You know, it's just so beautiful. And then I looked down and I saw this couple. I have no idea who they are. And I thought, you're missing out. Number three photo, please. Does anyone remember this one? Any oldies here seen this before? Ken Cook down the back has. This is cartoonist Loonig. And this cartoon is actually about 30 or 40 years old. But it's the same story, right? This dad is showing his little child, look at this beautiful photo of a sunrise. Isn't it awesome? The real thing is right behind him. The problem with screens is it takes our attention away from real people and real things. All of these news items that we've been talking about recently, teens on screens, etc. Domestic violence is an example of a breakdown in relationships. This theme this month is about families. How can we assist our families to grow strong? It's obvious in no matter what nation you live in, family is the foundation of life, of society, of how everything works. And when families are not working well, when there's trouble and difficulty, the whole nation suffers. Crime escalates. We see in Australia right now an incredible increase in youth crime here in Victoria and Queensland. It's incredible what we're seeing. Domestic violence is one of these examples of a breakdown in relationships. Teens on screens reveals the increasing problem of teenagers being influenced by people outside the family group. The lack of healthy relationships. Many parents in almost every nation have actually lost the ability to guide and train their children in their own values. This is what we champion as church leaders. Religious freedom. There's a big fight going on in Australia for this right now. And part of that is that every single parent should have the right to raise their children with their values. And I'll fight for that for Christian parents and for Islamic parents and for Buddhist parents, because there has to be respect for how we raise our children. Otherwise, life cannot continue normal. Family relationships are so important, so valuable, so powerful in bringing health to each person. So what this message is about today, significantly, is about communication. Chris and I have been together for 50 years. Married 45, met each other 5 years before that. You would think we'd have this down pat. But it's amazing, and we laugh ourselves silly sometimes because we go, didn't you mean this? And you go, no, I meant that. Oh, okay. We got that wrong. It's almost every day. I know you think we're retarded. It's okay. That's fine. But communication is not easy. And it's something we've got to work on, even if we've been together a long time. Healthy communication is vital to create family relationships that succeed and grow in God. So today I want to empower you to develop great communication within your family group and teach you some aspects of communication in all family relationships. Now the thing is this. Everything I say to you today, I guarantee you already know it. So what is the point of me saying anything? Well, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to turn my pathetic human dribble into supernatural revelation that deeply impacts our hearts and minds, that we might be able to live a better life for Christ. Do you want to pray with me? Jesus, we need you so much. Not only that we would hear from heaven today, that your word would just explode in our hearts and minds and your truth and your wisdom would impact us so that we can embrace change and be your people, not only so that we can build great families, but Lord, we want to be an example to our community. We want people around us to be able to look at our lives and our families and go, you guys have got this together. What is the secret? Holy Spirit, breathe on us right now. We need you so much. And everybody said, amen. Let's turn to the Word of God as a foundation of what we're speaking on today. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. And we're reading out of the Amplified Bible today. So, as God's own chosen people, we are holy, set apart, sanctified for His purpose, and well-beloved by God Himself. Put on a heart of compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, which has the power to endure whatever injustice or unpleasantness comes with good temper. Bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgiving each other. If one has a cause for complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourselves in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond for unity, for everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with Him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you are called as members of one body of believers, and be thankful to God always. Let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and mind, permeating every aspect of your being as you teach spiritual things and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence on Him, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, be subject to your husbands out of respect for their position as protector and their accountability to God, as it is proper and fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives with an affectionate, sympathetic, selfless love that always seeks the best for them. And do not be embittered or resentful towards them because of the responsibilities of marriage. Kate and Daniel shared about that movie, Unsung Hero. Chris and I went and saw it on Friday. Fantastic movie. Really encourage you to go see it. It's about family values. The unsung hero is the mother of this family. One of the children is Rebecca St. James, a very famous gospel singer. Two of the sons, Luke and Joel Smallbone, are now the members of For King and Country music group. Most of you would have heard of them if you ever listened to Light FM. They play them continuously. Brilliant Christian family, pushing the gospel out there, but also celebrating the values of God's love for us and how we can be strong. The great message in that movie is that mum's been strong all the way through. Dad struggled, but he came to a point in his life where he deeply repented to his wife and to his children. And that was a really powerful moment. I nearly cried four times in that movie. And it was really worth seeing. So I encourage you to see that. We don't need to talk so much about marriage. We've done a whole month on that. And I want to encourage you, when it becomes available, get hold of that session that was on Friday night, a couples panel. Really great material was brought forth by a number of great speakers on that panel, and really be helpful for you. There's a resource called Prepare and Rich, which we use as pastors to help couples that are preparing for marriage, and it is the result of 45 years of surveying happy couples and understanding what are the issues that make couples last long in their relationship and be strong in their marriage. And they said the two key factors, communication and conflict resolution, for couples to hang in there, stay together and be happy. A very famous psychologist in the United States called Dr. Gottman has been working with married couples all his life. He says this: conflict is not a bad thing in relationships. After watching thousands of couples in my lab for 40 years, Dr. Gottman says this: he discovered a simple truth. All couples argue. The difference between couples that stay together and ones who divorce is the way they repair after conflict. The masters of relationships take responsibility for their role in the issue and change their own behavior. So I'd like to share with you just two very simple, basic strategies today in terms of communication that will help build great families, strong families. The first one is about husbands and wives. The second one is about parents with children. These subjects, we could talk for hundreds of hours, right? But we've just got about 15 minutes, okay? So suck it all in, okay? Husbands and wives. I'm sorry this sounds so basic, but I want to ask you, are you doing it? Husbands and wives, be together weekly or at least monthly to have a date night or a date time with each other. No screens. Work out the best way to enjoy chatting to each other. For some of you, it's going out and having a meal somewhere and you're just talking to each other. For some people, it's driving to a picturesque area in the country or something. What Chris and I find in our relationship is that when we go out for a meal, for some reason, we don't talk much. I haven't figured it out yet. I think it's because I have a mental health issue. It's called lack of intelligence. But when we get in the car and we're driving, we're just yakety, 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 yak. So my thought is, do what works for you. It might be going out for a meal. It might be driving. It might be going for a walk. It might be having fun with some board games. But what works for you as a partner, you and your partner, working out, when we do this, we just seem to have a great time chatting. And you need to do that. If you can do it once a week, fantastic. At least monthly, at the very minimum. I work with couples a lot. I have yet to find a couple that said to me, we're not busy. Every human being is so busy, 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 busy. Work, responsibilities, kids. It's too much, right? But in the busiest years of my life, when I was a church leader and I was studying a master's degree and I was looking after another church and I was a police chaplain, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I still got a shock when I looked at my phone. It says, you average 5 hours a day on your screen. I'm going, really? Did I do that while I was driving? Did I do that while I was asleep? That's probably what it was. Do you get shocked when your phone tells you how much screen time you've done? And yet we don't have time to chat? They did a survey of fathers in the United States. This is going back like 10, 15 years now, and they found the average father spent 27 seconds communicating face-to-face with his child. I bet he spent a little bit more time watching TV. These are two words that we must focus on as men and women. So men, I want you to listen to me right now, and I want you to hear this word. If this is the only word you take home from today, it'll really be a great help. Your word is called cherish. Husbands, think about your wife. She needs to feel cherished. She will be happy if she's feeling cherished. That's when you say to your wife, I can't live without you. You are my one and only. I love you to bits. You're the most beautiful girl. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. When you walk in the room, my heart's going pitter-patter. When I see you in the bedroom, I'm going, wow. Your wife needs to feel like she is one in a million. That you can't live without her. If she gets that message, she's going to be a lot happier. Wives, here's your word. Your word is respect. Your husband will be happy if he senses that you respect him. And if you're going to respect your husband, you're saying things like, darling, you've got this. I know you've had a bad day at work, but you're going to work through this and you're going to be great. You're an awesome dad. Thank you for leading our family. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for being such an amazing husband. I'm blessed to be with you. Words of respect. Guys need to hear that. If all they hear is criticism, they're just going to shut down. They need you to be able to speak to them and say, you are my man. You are special to me. I respect you. When he's done 100 things wrong, say, you're a good husband, but can I ask you just this one question? Can we do this different? If respect is there, your husband's going to feel like, I love being here. I want to be your man. I want to look after you. Okay, let's talk about parents and teens. This is the toughest one ever. But are you ready for this one? Put your seatbelt on. I know how hard this is, but here we go. eat your meals together at the table. Some of you are going to say, yeah, we did that. What's so bad about that? A lot of families don't. When we sit down at the table and we put our phones away, we're actually able to communicate. And we've got to start when they're, well, just wait till they're born, okay? When they're one, when they're two, when they're three, and then right through to when they move out, whatever age that is. Because we're going to facilitate some communication. I know that sounds impossible. I know that sounds so hard, but can you work towards that opportunity? I've been in some significant business meetings in over the last 10 years or so, and they would start the meeting and say, here is a basket. We put it on the table. Everyone stick your mobile phone in that basket, and we all stick our phones in there, and we're all going, oh, man, oh, I feel like I'm naked. I haven't got a phone to look at. So much stress. And that doesn't work anymore because we've got Apple Watches. Chris rang me yesterday. I'm going, yes, darling. I couldn't find my phone. Take your Apple Watch off, stick it in the basket. Screens have been so much involved in our lives. The trouble with screens is it stops communication with the people we're right near. So we're talking about teens here. Okay, so try to have your meal together. There are many options to talk to them apart from eating, for sure, and take them up. So at the meal table, build a habit of telling stories. All kinds of different stories. Funny stories. Stories about what happened today. Ask great questions of each other. Value laughter. Value tears. Always give words of encouragement. Even when terrible things are happening and things are going wrong and people are badly behaved, make sure there are words of encouragement, words of hope, words of praise. Our kids need that. The big key is this: do not insulate your kids from worldliness, sins, and crazy things. Walk through it with them and coach them on how to act and talk as a committed Christian. Our kids, we cannot insulate them from the world that they're living in. We cannot somehow protect them that they don't experience bullying or violence or pornography or all kinds of terrible things. It's everywhere. It's on every screen. It's in their classroom. You can't avoid it. So we've got to walk through it with them. Talk to them about it. Ask them how they feel. Get feedback from them what the real picture is. Be good at listening, not just talking. Let our teens talk to us about how they're really feeling. Bring in some really simple and basic scripture reading that illustrates God's love and acceptance for his children. So maybe not reading for half an hour, but reading for just a short time around the table saying, this is what God wants us to truly know. Some of the things that we need to unpack and coach our children through, and recognizing that the conversation is going to be different for different age brackets. If we've got toddlers, it's a lot different to primary school kids or secondary school kids or uni students or whatever. There's different ways we approach these things, but there's subjects like they feel isolated at school. A lot of kids really face significant issues at school. Who's going to be there with them? Maybe you can't be physically present in the classroom, but you can have talked through it with them and say, you know, if that was me, I think this is what I would do. Have a go at that. And then tomorrow, how'd you go? Did that work? Was it any help? Let's keep working on it. Another subject might be they're getting bullied by someone in the lunch hour. What are we going to do about that? We can talk to the school, hey, what's your bullying program? We can go crook at them and everything else. But ultimately, it's us and our children that have to walk through this together. To give them understanding, as a Jesus follower, what do I do in this situation? Another topic might be they're feeling anxious about exams or assignments or work. They're stressed, anxiety. We're talking like 10-15% of the population are struggling with anxiety. What do we say to them? How do we unpack the scriptures and say, let's have a look at this verse. What do you reckon that means? How can we put that into practice in our lives? When I felt stressed, this is what I did. Talking through with them. Checking back with them the next day, the next week, the next month. The subject of transgender comes up in the classroom. Oh boy, that's a big one. How do our kids deal with this? They're going to have different values probably to the teacher, to other students. How do we walk through these things? You know, I could spend a lot of time talking about that, but we don't have time today. If you need advice, come and see the ministry team. But we've got to walk through that with our kids. Another subject might be the teacher is critical of Christianity. What am I going to do, Dad? All my teachers believe in evolution. What am I supposed to say? As parents, let's walk through this with our kids. We are helping our children to know and accept our values. When they leave home, they get married or they move or go to uni or whatever, and they're out of our lives, we need them to be carrying the values, primarily the kingdom values, but hopefully they got them through us as parents. And whatever they face in life, they face it knowing they're with Jesus in that situation. We want them to be confident in understanding that as Christians, we will not always see things in the same way as non-believers. That's okay. What we feel and believe and understand as a family might be different to the next door neighbors and the kids at school and your friends at uni and everything else. That's okay. But we base what we believe on the Bible, and there's loads of evidence for the reliability and authenticity and truth of the Bible. We need to give them confidence in who we are as believers. We are God's people in the earth. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer tribulation. We can't protect our kids. We have to give them understanding that great is our reward in heaven, amen? And when the tough times come, hang into Jesus. Don't give up. This is how I handled it. This is what happened to me, and God's keeping us going. We must ensure our children feel loved and accepted by their parents and taught how much God loves them. They need to be overwhelmingly convinced in their mind, Jesus loves me no matter what I do, no matter how many mistakes I make, I belong to Jesus. And I am the apple of his eye. I am so valuable and precious to God that even when everything is going wrong, I can rest in him. We've reached the end of the message today. But this is all about communication, husband and wife, communication, parents to children. If we can do communication well, we will build great families. Are you willing to give it a go? Are you willing to put down the screens at the right time? Come on, let's ask God right now for his grace to enable us. Hey, Father, as a family church here, we wait upon you and we ask you for grace to enable us to be really great at communication. Lord, teach us how to walk humbly before you, to be able to say when we need to say it, maybe I got this wrong, forgive me for having a bad attitude or saying wrong words or doing something that wasn't godly, and repair relationships and rebuild lives and give our kids a great example of wisdom, strength, and humility as we walk with Christ in our families. Father, bless every family in this church. Lord, where there are marriages that are difficult and conflicted, Father, we pray for your grace to just cover them and bring healing and repair today. Where kids are struggling in any way whatsoever, we pray for your covering, your grace, your goodness to surround them and help them to overcome in every way. Father, as parents, give us great wisdom to know how to lead each other and lead our families in Jesus' name. And if anyone today in this service, or maybe you're watching online and you're realizing that life is tough and you know you need some help, you know that you need God's love and power to come into your life, then today is the day to respond to Jesus and give your life to him. The gospel message is Jesus died for you. And he was punished for everything you and I have ever done wrong so that we could be restored and united to God. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, pray this prayer right now and lift your heart up to God and say these words, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. Come into my heart, forgive my sins. And be my Savior and Lord, I put my trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer in the service today or watching online, please talk to one of our ministry team and share that news with them. We'd love to help you to begin a great walk with God. If you're watching online, send an email right now to hello@infinitychurch.org and let us know, even if you're living in a state or somewhere else in the world. We want to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Bless you. Thank you for coming to church today. Let's go and have coffee and a great time of fellowship. God bless you.